There are four stages in the process of making cheese slash butter or turning milk into a dairy product. We're going to lay them out right now, and then we're going to go back to each step and see how it plays out when it comes to making our favorite products. So the first thing is the milk comes out of the cow, and then it stands for a while. If the milk stands as it is, so naturally the cream will rise to the top, and you'll have the cream that comes from the milk. And when all the cream is removed from the milk, you're left with what we call skim milk, okay? That's what we call skim milk, when all the cream is removed. And only milk from animals that are kosher, we have a masorah, can separate naturally from milk into cream. This is the masorah that we have. And what you call whole milk in the store is when 4% of the fat is left behind. That's what we call whole milk. Then, the cream that you take from the milk, that can be beaten into butter. And when you take the milk and the cream and you beat it, and you mix it around, so that separates into two things. There are the globs, which will turn into butter, and that will eventually be fashioned into bricks or a bar, and that will become butter. And then the liquid that's left behind, you see, if you ever see how they make it, they have these huge bins, and it rotates around, and it mixes the milk and milk again and again and again, and you're left with this creamy butter. And then on the bottom falls out this liquid left over, and that's what we call... buttermilk, okay? Now, buttermilk has this tangy taste to it. I think, from what I understand, the buttermilk that you buy in stores today has a little bit of additives as well to kind of make it a little bit more palatable, but that's what we call buttermilk. Now, the milk can be made into cheese by adding rennet that you've all read about intensely. That's what we call rennet. Rennet is this microbe that'll be able to separate the whey from the curds, like Miss Muffet had. And then what you can do with that is then take the curds that come out of it, and you'll turn that into cheese and add whatever you want for the flavoring. And whey itself can also be used for proteins and things like that. So those are the different types of things that come into using milk products. Now, the origin of the din d'rabbanan that we've seen already is the Mishnah on Chavtasim and Beis. It says that Yeshua kept on evading everyone. When they kept on asking him, what's the deal with cheese? Why can we have cheese made by a guy? He didn't really give any answers. This is a klal gadol that Rosh Hashanah likes to point out, that when they made takanas d'rabbanan, they would wait a year so that everything would settle, to make sure that people didn't take the law into their own hands and say, oh, it doesn't apply to me. In order for the takana to be established, they would ensure that no one would know the reason for all takanas up to a year. So the Mishnah gives out seven different possibilities. Either goyim are going to use the stomach of a non-kosher animal to set it as the rennet, because the goy is going to use the stomach of a calf that was used for avodah zara. The milk was left in a place that snakes could have poisoned it, that we call gilui. Rav Hanina says the milk could have been added with non-kosher species as well. Another reason given is that the cheese could be coated with lard. The non-kosher wine vinegar was added to set the cheese, or the juice of orla would have been used. So all these seven reasons are brought there in the Gemara and the Mishnah, and we're left with very unclearly, so what does that mean, halacha l'maisa, what's the reason for when it comes to cheese? So the Gemara, there in Lamed Hey, Lamed Aleph, says that he didn't reveal the reason, right, because he wanted to make sure it sets, and we see that even when the Gezerah began, so no reason was given, and therefore it makes cheese this weird entity where we're not exactly sure at the end of the day, why is it we don't have cheese made by Goyim, because the Gemara doesn't really want to tell us conclusively. So this leads to a potential kula in Tosos brought by Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that we don't really have an obvious reason for Gvinas Akum, and therefore he says that the real reason is because of the Gilui, that there's going to be snake venom in the cheese, and since in a place they don't have snakes running around, so therefore Rabbeinu Tam says that cheese should be 100% fine, and there's no Shaila in the eyes of Rabbeinu Tam, and that is a very big kula. However, came out all the Rishonim disagreed, the Rambam, the Rashba, and the Torah Sabayis, the Tur all say that no, that's not the case. They say that this is a Davar Shebeminyan, right, according to the Magen Mishnah. Gvinas Akum is a Davar Shebeminyan that needs a Beis Din, that's Gadol B'Chacham with a Minyan, in order, unless you want to get rid of it, and therefore the Gzeira applies no matter what. And this is the Shitas of the Rishonim. However, there's a Shita of the Smak. The Smak says that even Rabbeinu Tam understands that it was a Davar Shebeminyan, and that Rabbeinu Tam was just a halacha v'lo lemaisa, just intellectual gymnastics, and he didn't really mean lemaisa, that you could go and have all the cheese that you wanted, but I don't think that's the understanding of most people according to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam seemingly in its past was a very big heter when it comes to cheese. So, if you look in the Mechaber, The Mechaber says that the cheese of a guy is usher because the guy will use a rennet that came from a nevela. That's the reason given by the Mechaber, but it doesn't, as we'll see, it doesn't really change it that much. Even if you know they were maimed the cheese of the dover kasher, so it's still usher because of a low plug, which is again in the Mechaber, and the Ramah agrees in the Mechaber, and as is the Chachma Sadam, and the Aruch HaShulchan, and therefore you will not find any kosher cheese nowadays made with stomach linings. It is impossible to find. I don't think anyone would do that. Now, this leads us to a very important machlokes in the Ramah and the Shach regarding how much involvement do you need in the making of the cheese. The Ramah says you can make Gvinas Yisrael by having a Jew watch, just like it comes to making Chalav Yisrael as well. This is the Shita of the Minchas Yaakov and the Teferes Lemoshe. The Nod Bihudin Orachayin Simon Lamed Zayin, the Pritoar there in Sifkatan Zayin. The Pischei Shuvah here in Sifkatan Vav cites it as well, as does the Gilyan Maharsha. The Mishnah Brura in Shin Ches, Sifkatan Ayin Tes, Shin Zayin, Sifkatan Ayin Tes, also says that's enough to watch it, as does the Chazon Ish, which is brought in B'nesiv HaChalav, the Sefer we quoted last time, put out by Tznuva, about all the halachas of milk. The Chazon Ish also seems to hold this way, as does Rav Moshe Nirodea, Chelek Aleph, and Chelek Gimel as well. These are the Mekilim, which are very significant Mekilim when it comes to the making of cheese. It's sufficient to have a Jew watching the making of the cheese. However, there's the Shach. The Shach here in Sifkatan Ches says, Chaf says, I'm not so sure about that. The only time we find the heter of watching is sufficient is when it comes to milk. We don't find this heter any time when it comes to cheese, and therefore the Shach says that the Yisrael has to put the rennet in to be maimed the cheese in order to make it separate, and this is the opinion of the Chachmas Adam, the Pri Chadosh, the Bir Hagra, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, all holding like the Shach, also not small opinions on their own. The Hechsherim in the United States are machmer for the Shach. That is what goes on in America. We want to make sure that we have the Jew putting in the rennet, in Gray Matter, Volume 3, so Rabbi Jachter, quotes Rabbi Soloveitchik, said the same thing as well, that we should be machmer for the Shach. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that if the Jew didn't place the rennet in, but he saw it, it's still kosher b'diavad, if it turns out to be the case. Because we are machmer for the Shach, that's why it is almost impossible to find large cheese manufacturers making kosher cheese. That's why you only find these boutique, small companies that make kosher cheese. Because for a large national company to have a Rav Machshir every single day putting the rennet is just not feasible. It's just not a practical thing to do. And therefore, that's why you don't find the large companies making kosher cheese, except for recently in the past year, Palio. Right? Palio String Cheese, which is a big national company, became kosher. How did they do that? They have a mashgiach there every single day putting the rennet in to make the cheese. That was apparently worth the investment for them. So there is one major national company that does make kosher cheese. I think Kraft is also, Palio is a division of Kraft, so also some Kraft cheese as well. The same thing, to have a Jew there putting in the rennet, it's an expense, but if they think it's worth it, they will do it. So it is uncommon though, but it does happen. The Nod of Yehuda discusses a case where a Jew paid a guy to use the facilities and everything to make his own cheese. And the Nod Yehuda follows the Ramah, that as long as the Jew supervises it, everything is okay. And he adds the following point. He says that the Jew intended to purchase the cheese, and he also supplies the rennet, then he's considered the Baal Hagvina. He owns the cheese, and therefore that's sufficient. And based on this, even according to the Shach, if the Jew is the owner of the entire processing, so then that's sufficient even according to the Shach, if the Jew does not put the rennet in. And therefore, there are some hechsherim that will be machmer, that the Jew has to be kona the rennet. It's not just enough that the Jew's going to put the rennet in, but he has to make a kinyan on the rennet. I think they have a whole discussion about how you make a kinyan on rennet and ayin sham. But that's another thing to be added to make sure that it is gvinas Yisrael. The Shach discusses in Sifkat and Chafei that if a guy had the plan to milk the cows and to make the cheese, we can be lenient, right? Because we assume that the milk that's going to be used for cheese is only going to come from a kosher animal. And he says you can only rely on this kula and hefsin meruba, so we don't usually rely on this idea that the milk that's coming in, we can assume it's going to be made when it comes to cheese. The Ramah says that the milk is milk for cheese, right? There's no isra v'chalavakum. Again, we try to be machmer. But this leads into issues of Chalav Yisrael. Does someone who's makar on Chalav Yisrael have to be makbid on Grinas Yisrael as well, that the milk has to come from Chalav Yisrael. So it would seem, according to the Rama and the Shach, that if you know that the milk is coming in, that it's that was milked for the sake of cheese, so then you have a heter, even if you're makbid on Chalav Yisrael. So, for example, I think Miller's cheese is not Chalav Yisrael, but someone who's makbid on Chalav Yisrael, according to this reasoning, could be, we'll see in a second why there are other issues, but according to this reasoning, you could go and buy Miller's cheese even if you're makbid on Chalav Yisrael, because the milking is done for the pure usage of cheese and not for anything else. Cream cheese and cottage cheese are interesting, because cream cheese is made by adding rennet to whole milk, and then you separate the milk, you separate the different parts together, and you just mix it all together to make this creamy cheese, hence the name. So according to this, Rav Moshe says that there's a suffix whether the gzera of cream cheese applies to, of cheese applies to cream cheese or not, and Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he is makel at the end regarding cream cheese that doesn't have to be made dafka by a Jew. Cottage cheese is different. Cottage cheese is made from the natural separating of when the milk stands, it will naturally separate into two different parts. That's why it looks so delicious. And the Radvaz has a tshuva in Beis Alafim Reish Tzadi Aleph 2291, and also the Chachma Sadam are machmir that even cheese that naturally curdles is going to have an issue that it has to be makbid on for Gvinas Yisrael. Rav Moshe disagrees in Yeradeya Beis Memches that since they don't use rennet, in the process of it, the gzera doesn't apply. Since there was no, but even though when they do make cottage cheese nowadays, they do add some rennet to help it along, so it goes a little bit faster. So since Rav Moshe says, since be'etzem cottage cheese is made without adding rennet, therefore the gzera doesn't apply to it, and therefore you don't need to have a Jewish intervention in making cottage cheese. Okay. There's also discussion about yogurt and leaven. Rav Ozner has a tshuva in Chelek Dalet about leaven. You know that delicious thing that you skip when you're in Israel? So those things. Also, there's a bit of a discussion. I think according to what we say, and the minhag would be to be mekel. Yeah.
I just assume that there's no extra milk added after.
When it comes to cream cheese?
And cottage cheese.
Yeah. And cottage cheese, yes. I'm assuming that. Okay. Good. Butter. So butter, there are two types of butter. There are two types, like we said before. You take the milk, you churn it around, and it separates into the globs that will become the butter, and then the buttermilk falls at the bottom. Now, there's two types of butter. There's what we call sweet cream butter, which is tastes good, as the name sweet cream. There's also something called whey butter. And whey is a little bit different. It's kind of like a byproduct of cheese. After you separate the cheese together, they'll use that whey and they'll turn it into some sort of butter. So that doesn't taste as good. It has this kind of cheesy flavor to it. But it is used in a number of products that you eat. It's used for a lot in buttered-flavored foods, like that butter-flavored popcorn or that butter-flavored whatever. So since it has a little bit of that stronger flavor, they'll use the whey cream in those areas. So that's going to be important, because whey cream is essentially a derivative of cheese. And if that's the case, we will have to be machmir when it comes to certain areas when you're using that type of cream. But if it's just the sweet cream, that's just butter. And as we know, the gzera does not apply to chema, doesn't apply to butter. So you have to know, when it comes to the product, which type of butter are they using. Are they using from the whey, which is problematic, or are they going to be using from the sweet cream, which is less problematic? Now, the taste of whey cream is different, as we said, and they'll use it in the butter-flavored snacks. They'll also use it in ice cream as well. It's important to know. And how come your ice cream tastes sweet and doesn't taste cheesy? Because there's so many other things that go into the ice cream that it covers it up, and you don't know what the actual butter flavor tastes like. So these things come up in different areas. Now, there's a machlokas amongst the Gonim and the Rishonim, the Rambam, Hilchos Machlokes, the Suras, and Perek Gimel, the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch, and all the poskim allow butter, right, if it's not supervised, and they say that non-kosher milk cannot properly turn into butter, right? If there's no way to do it on its own, Chazal wouldn't go there. And therefore, according to this, even if you're makbid on Chalav Yisrael, you can buy butter that's not Chalav Yisrael, because the gzera doesn't apply in that case. Now, as we said, if all the butter you buy in the store, all the butter products, were just made from sweet cream, so there'd be no shaila, everyone would go home, have a good time, even if you're makbid on Chalav Yisrael, and you could eat all the butter you want. But how do you know if the butter product you're buying comes from whey cream, which might have a problem of cheese. And therefore, we have a number of issues. So the OU points out that today's butter contains whey cream in it as well, and that would raise an issue. Other chalav stam additives that are put in. They quote a shita of the Bach, right? The Bach says that the whole gzera only of chalav of Yisrael only applied to liquid form, but if it comes in any solid form, so there's no issue of that. We don't hold like the Bach. The Shach, very clearly, the Taz, the Rosh Hashulchan say we don't hold like the Bach, as does the Rambam, clearly in Machalos Asuros. Others say that the butter that comes from Chalav Stam can be eaten without a problem because Chalav Stam are themselves just coming from whey, and whey is not subject to Chalav Stam. Another, again, we have a bunch of different kulas and chumras coming together to create these issues. However, there's another issue as well. The Ramah holds, as we know, that the milk is acceptable for cheese and butter if it was not milked, if it was milked for the express purpose of milk and butter. So you'll say, ah, the milk and the butter should be fine because they're getting the milk from the cows just for the purpose of making the butter. And therefore, we have a big kula, according to the Ramah. Even if you're makan v'chal b'Yisrael, you can have the butter because the milk's coming out just for the express purpose of the butter. Now, it's not all entirely true when the milk company is just selling off the milk to the to whoever wants to buy it. But the OU says that perhaps there's room to be lenient because they, when they milk the cow, they have in mind that the milk is going to be used also for butter, and therefore perhaps that creates a leniency as well. Again, a different cooler for those who want to be makbid. They also note that the language of the Shulchan Aruch is lo gazru al chema. They're not mechalik between whether it's whey cream or whether it's sweet cream. There's no difference. The general gzeru is simply on butter, and therefore butter was excluded, and there shouldn't be a problem as well. So, when it comes to someone who's makan on Chalav Yisrael, you can definitely see the studim to be machmer, because there could be other additives put in that come from Chalav Stam, but at the same time, there are a number of kulas that come into place, for example, that it's milked expressly for the making of the butter. It could just be a whey product, which is not under the issue of Chalav Yisrael in the first place. So these different kulas come together, and a person, when it comes to deciding whether they're going to have butter that comes from Chalav Yisrael, so they have to ask their local Orthodox rabbi.